Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
My name is Pastor Jared. I get to serve as the campus pastor here. Summertime, we've been in and out a little bit as a family, and so I'm excited to be back with you this morning in God's Word. As we begin this morning, as our kids are making their way out, I want to begin and take an opportunity to hopefully be the first person in your life this year to say, Merry Christmas. Woo! That's right. Because here's the reality. We get to celebrate Christ's appearing every day of the year. It's good news every single day. And so here in July, I'm saying Merry Christmas. Anybody? I'm only like 152 days, give or take a little early, so you'll be okay. But in the spirit of celebrating Christmas, I had a gift for you. And I still have some. So did everybody that wants one receive a gift this morning on your way in? The little figure of Jesus. Yeah? Does anybody still want one? I've got a couple up here. I'll throw one at you. Hey, we aim to please. Anybody else? Oh, right there. Close enough. All right. Now, you just hold still. I'm going to throw it right over your head. There we go. How's that? Haven't played baseball in 30 years. There's still some back in the back. If you need one, please help yourself. So, this is a tangible reminder of the message of Christmas, okay? We find this message in the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. That's where we're going to start today. This gift is specifically chosen for you as it reminds us of the story. So just to catch up a little bit, Joseph has found out that his fiancée Mary is pregnant. Now, her story is that it's of the Holy Spirit, which it was as believable then as it would be today. Joseph is processing this whole thing, this whole story, when an angel appears to him with this message. We find that in Matthew 1, verse 20. It says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That is good news this morning, friends. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the message of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us to save us. And that's the message that I want you to think about. That's the story connected to this little plastic Jesus. That the good news of the gospel is God is with us to save us. And now that you've received this gift, I need you to do something with it. There's always a catch. And I'm going to be a little forward here. I'm not even asking you, I'm telling you. You need to do something with this. It's critically important. As you have received the gift of Jesus, God with us to save us, I need you to make sure someone else receives this gift. Make sure that someone else receives that same gift. You see, that is the essence of what Jesus is calling us to, what he is commanding us at the end of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28. Let's read his words there. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. To paraphrase that, to say, now that you have received Jesus, you have received his life and his forgiveness, his salvation within you, now go and make sure others receive that same gift. That's the Great Commission. And so this little Christmas in July experiment is really just an analogy for what every single believer in Jesus Christ is called to, that we would receive it and we would give it, that we would leverage our lives to make sure other people receive Jesus. And so can I ask you this morning, is that true of your life? Are you living in such a way that you are ever modeling, ever shaping your own life after the way of Jesus and giving yourself to making sure others receive him too? Is that true? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for your word. Thanks for your spirit with us this morning. Jesus, we need you. Because this was not the great suggestion. This was the great commission. So, Lord, we want to sit face to face with you today to open our hearts, Lord, to consider our own discipleship after your way, after you, and that we would also evaluate how we are seeing others receive the greatest gift, and that in you, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we don't want to hide today behind excuses. We don't want to get lost looking at others in the room today, but just to look face to face with you. Holy Spirit, come. Apply your word to our heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, we're kind of concluding our FaceTime series. And so throughout this series, we've been taking intentional time to walk slowly, if you will, with the words of Jesus, that we might sit face-to-face with his teaching. Some of these texts, as today, is maybe very familiar to a lot of you. And so it takes extra effort, it takes intentionality to really slow down and let the weight of them sit on our heart. And that is our goal today. To know Jesus more and to know the life he is calling us to live. And so today we are going to be in Matthew 28, which the way Matthew has recorded the story of Jesus, this is his last words. These are the final thing. The story of Matthew's gospel really crescendos. It gets to the peak in this text. And so we are going to be in chapter 28. By this time, the crucifixion of Jesus and the events of Good Friday, all of that is past. Jesus has been buried and he's now resurrected. And so Jesus has come to catch up again with his disciples. And if you haven't thought about this lately from their perspective, just remember, they saw Jesus crucified, beaten horribly. He was dead and buried, and now he is in the flesh before them talking to them. That is amazing if you haven't thought about that lately. But that's the context of the story we're getting into. So let's jump in. The text will be on the screen. There's a YouVersion event created. And of course, follow along in your scriptures today. Verse 16 of Matthew 28. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." So we're catching up with the story. Jesus resurrected. We're not exactly sure how much time from Easter to this moment. But Jesus had said, "Hey guys, meet me in Galilee, leave the city, go out here into the countryside in Galilee, and I will meet with you there." And so there is only 11 present for this conversation. Should sting just a little bit, because for the last number of years with Jesus, it's always been 12. It was always 12 walking with him, teaching with him, going out on mission with him, taking naps with him. It was always 12. And now there's 11. You see, Judas, one of the 12, had been with Jesus, but he got mixed up. He got his eye focused on the wrong vision, the wrong coming kingdom, and he sold Jesus out to the officials who wanted to kill him. It was his greatest mistake of his life, and he regretted it. He had remorse, but he never took his remorse to Jesus in repentance. He took his own life instead. And now there's 11. There's 11. And among this 11 are some interesting cats, okay? Matthew, the one writing this gospel, this narrative for us, he was a tax collector. He was a crook. He was a little shady in his business deals, but he made a great living cheating his own people. But now he's found a new life, and he's here. He's with Jesus. So you have Matthew, you have Thomas. He had some pretty significant doubts about this whole resurrected Jesus thing, understandably. But he's here. He's among the 11. You have Simon the Zealot. He was a religious fanatic. His car would have been covered in all the bumper stickers. His social media would have been sharing all the religious posts. He was a nut for religion. He's here. Now you have James and John. Again, interesting cats. They had been vying to see who can sit on Jesus' left and right. They wanted to be top dog. They also wanted to call down fire on a village that had rejected him. And Jesus is like, whoa, guys, slow your roll. For all of their misgivings, they're here. They're in the 11. And who can forget Peter? Peter has incredible faith and an amazing ability to fit his whole foot inside his mouth. Right? Peter has, in this moment, he's of the 11, but he just denied Jesus not that long ago, 3 times that he even knew him. But he's here. And so you get the picture, and there's more stories involved in the 11, but you get the picture. This was not the all-stars who had it all figured out. This was a ragamuffin crew that was following Jesus with their faith in him the best they knew how. They had mistakes. They were shady in the past, but they're here present with Jesus seeking after him. And friends, I want to be honest, that gives me hope. As somebody with a past and who still doesn't have it all figured out, that Jesus has a word for us today. That's good news, because I don't want you to sit here and think, oh, I've done X, Y, and Z. He's not talking about me today. Oh, I've got some questions about this Jesus thing. I'm set aside for today. No. If you're following Jesus, if you're experiencing his life, this word is for you. You don't have to have it all figured out. Praise be to God. You just have to be leaning in. You have to be placing your faith and trust in him. And he's got a word for you. Let's continue. Matthew 28:18. The very next verse, then Jesus came to them and said, now remember who's sitting there. Jesus comes to them and says, you guys really mucked it up, didn't you? Like you blew it. You let me down. Here I'm trying to start a new thing in salvation and redemption history, dying for your sins, raising from the grave, and you all left me hanging. How am I supposed to trust you from this moment on? He doesn't say that, does he? Had every right. He would have been right, but he doesn't. Aren't you glad that Jesus starts with who he is and not who we are? He says, Jesus says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus says this idea of all authority, the way that's written, the implication is that God the Father has given him all authority and power. And I think there's 2 ways we should process this as we try to wrap our minds around it. The first is that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. In the seen and the unseen realm, there is not a force, a power, a circumstance, a principality, a challenge. There is nothing greater than him. He has authority and power over all. He has defeated sin, death, and hell. He is the reigning, undefeated world champion. This is Jesus. That's who he is. He has all authority and power. And the second side of that is that person of authority, the King of Kings, is the one who has a word for us today. And so we should weigh these words not just because I'm yelling at you today, but because the one with all authority said, hey, I've got a word and a command for you. Because if I come up and say, hey, I've kind of seen you driving on 33 and you really ought to slow down. Like, you roll 72, the sign says 55, I'm just here to help, slow down. You're like, eh, pff, whatever, I gotta go. Now, the blue lights roll up behind you and the officer taps on your window and says, you really need to slow down, you know the speed limit's 55. Like, that's a different level of authority. The officer has the right and will enforce it on you. So as we come to these words, this is not just a casual encounter. This is the words of Jesus. And so as we weigh out how we will respond, let's remember who's speaking. The one with all authority and power. Let's continue. Verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Now, there's a lot happening here said by someone with all authority and power. Let's go step by step. The word therefore, okay, that is linking this command back to the revelation, the truth that Jesus is the one with all authority and a power. And so that brings this in, that we live and exist in his victory. This command is coming from him, and we are to go out in his victory and authority in the name of Jesus. In the English language, there are four things Jesus tells us to do, and I specifically say English because we got some Greek work to do. Just relax, we'll get through it. It says, go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. So go, first thing, okay? In the original language, this is in the present participle. So this is in the present tense. And so that means it's a way of thinking about it as you're going. It's an ongoing thing. So this is less about a one-time, got to go get a passport and go on a mission trip, and more about your everyday going to work, sleeping, eating, going to Walmart life. That's how we need to think about this idea of go. Now, if God's calling you to get a passport and go on a mission trip to a third world country, God bless you. Please let us know so we can pray with you and support you. But this commission, this go, is to say that your whole life is laid before him. As you're going, make disciples. Make disciples. That idea of make disciples in the original language, again, this is some of the Greek work I was talking about. This is really the only direct command, make disciples. It's not that the other things aren't important, but it's just as if Jesus were to say, of all the other stuff that goes with it, make disciples. Everything else is supporting that central idea that make disciples is a central command. And it's an aorist imperative, which means just do it. Not my words, it's his. Don't throw anything at me. Just do it. And so that begins to shape, okay, well, this is not just a good idea. It's not a suggestion if we have time. It's not even if we feel like it or if we think we can do it. We have been told, make disciples. Make disciples. Okay, what's a disciple? Right? If we're commanded to make them, what's a disciple? What's a disciple? That word essentially means to become a student of a specific teacher. To become a student of a specific teacher. Now, the point of this discipling, of becoming a student of a teacher, is not just, it's kind of a twofold thing. We're going to learn their teaching, we're going to learn how they articulate, and we're going to make memorizations. We're going to learn what they teach, but we're also going to model our life after how they live. And so if they eat Cheerios for breakfast, we're going to eat Cheerios for breakfast. It's that kind of an idea, that as we see Jesus moving and loving his enemies and serving the world, that we are going to model our everyday life after his. That's discipleship. In our modern context, another way of thinking about this that gets at this same idea is the idea of apprenticeship. So how many of you have ever had on-the-job training or coaching as an apprentice? Like you showed up and what you needed to learn, you watched in someone else at work or at school ahead of you. Apprentice? Okay, a few of you. Okay, that's a way to think about discipleship. That we show up and someone ahead of us is a pattern for us that we are to follow. For example, I was an apprentice a long time ago as an electrician. And one of the first things you're going to learn in construction as an apprentice, as you are trying to learn and pick up this craft, is you're going to learn how to unload the van and the tools for the day. And at the end of the day, you're going to learn how to rightly pack them up and put them back in the van. So this extension cord, I just rolled up, I don't know, a week or so ago. I had it out at the house doing something, whatever. Do you notice how nice and neat and what size coil that is? Okay? That is because over 20 years ago, someone drilled in my head that this is how your extension cord should look. I didn't even think about it when I rolled this up. If you wrap a cord around your arm, I love you, but that's not the way you're supposed to do it. This is how you roll up a cord. Why? Because I was apprenticed this way. And when this thing was laid out across the driveway, I didn't even think about it. It was just ingrained in me to start throwing that thing back together like that. That's over 20 years ago. Here's another example. My OCD friends, you're going to breathe a big sigh of relief with this one. because everything's right with the world. This is a five-gang switch plate, okay, at my house. Now, I haven't done electrical work professionally in almost 10 years, but I just put this plate on this winter when I refinished this wall in Tongue and Groove. So, can we just appreciate how level that plate is? Oh, like the world is right, and the 10 screws are all straight up and down. Woo! Why? Because 20 years ago, after you get done rolling up the tools for the day, you learned that every single screw you put in every single switch and outlet plate is facing straight up and down. When I put that on, I didn't even think about it. I just did it because I was apprenticed to do it that way. And so as we come to think about how do we apprentice after the way of Jesus, how do we impact others? If you looked at my Bible at home, it is a mess because there is highlights and notes and arrows and all kinds of witchy digits stuffed in it and drawn on it. Why? Because I watched Jim Harrison, the pastor who was pouring into my life. I was learning and catching things from him. I was apprenticing, and he did it too. And so to this day, I still make notes in my scriptures just like he taught me. And you see, apprenticing is both teaching, but it's catching. And so in this call of discipleship, we need to be disciples. We need to learn how to roll up extension cords like Jesus. Are you with me? And so as he loves his enemies, as he forgives 70 times 7, we need to learn that. We need to model our life after him as he walks about and sees and engages and serves and teaches and loves the Lord. We need to do the same thing. He is the model, the pattern of our life. We are apprenticing under him. That's discipleship. And the great commission, the great command that we're studying today is that we are not only discipling and apprenticing after Jesus, is that we are turning and making sure someone else is learning Jesus' teaching and following after him. And so we are teaching them how to pray. They are looking at our life and our family and our finances, our sexuality. They're looking at all these things and how we do and going, oh, that's like Jesus. We are teaching them. We're discipling them. We are partnering with the move of the Holy Spirit in their life so that they would be transformed. That's make disciples. Make disciples. Make sure they receive the gift of Jesus Christ. And teach them how to pray, how to write up their Bible, how to give. Because here's the reality, friends. You're not going to be able to teach something you ain't caught yourself. So as you catch it, as you model your life, teach others. Show them the way. Make disciples. Jesus has some other words. He says, make disciples of all the nations. That means there's nobody off limits. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And so part of this making disciples, how are we going to do that? We're going to support that mission with baptism and teaching. And Jesus just comes out and say, hey, baptize them. So if you've been on the fence about baptism, if you've been wondering, is that for me? Well, Jesus said to do it, so let's just do it. I don't know why it has to be more complicated than I understand it is. But at the very essence, Jesus says, baptize. So let's do it. Next week in the river, talk to me, okay? We can do what Jesus said. And it says, teach them. This is that teaching them how to put screws in cover plates and roll up cords so that we teach other people what we've learned, how we followed after Jesus, that they might find their own way too. Teach them. Teach them. And you say, well, Pastor, how in the world am I supposed to do that? Well, thankfully, not alone. Because Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that a relief? To know that Jesus is present. I love the way Matthew has composed this whole narrative, that it begins in chapter 1 with Emmanuel, God with us, and it ends with the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. That's beautiful. So can I ask you, is this true of your life? That's the question, right? Jesus said it. The language is there. There's really not any loopholes. I've looked. People for generations have looked. He says, do it. So is it true? And that's, I'm going to be honest with you today, that's the question I can't escape from my own life. You see, I'm not just throwing this on you. I've been wrestling with this for over a week, trying to figure out, is this true in my life? And I wish I could say that was an easy answer, but it's not. Because I don't want to just take the easy out and say, yeah, the church is. No, no. Jesus said, you. Me? You. Is that true of my life? Is it true of yours? As I've thought about this, I thought of another question. I'm sure nobody else would think about this. This is my weird brain. What happens if we don't? I know y'all are all thinking we got to do this, but I just wonder what happens if we don't live this out? What does that look like? And that question led me to the story of Jerome Moody. What does it look like when Christians, disciples, don't take this word seriously? They don't implement it in their life. It looks like Jerome Moody. The year is 1985, which is not that long ago, in case you're wondering. Jerome Moody is attending a very large pool party in New Orleans. It's estimated that some 200 people are present. Being a pool party, authorities don't exactly know what happened. Remember, this is pre-cell phones, pre-all that. But Moody drowned that night at a pool party. About 10:55 p.m. that night, his lifeless body was fetched from the water. As tragic as that is, it somehow gets worse when you understand that of the 200 people there, more than half were certified lifeguards. Like, that is another layer, another level of tragedy to this story. Because Jerome Moody died that night surrounded by people who could have done something to help. So what does it look like when Christians don't live out this commission? It looks like this. People around us perishing while we have the answer of eternal life in Christ Jesus, and they die without it. That's what happens. That's what happens. So is it true in your life? Are you apprenticing under Jesus? And listen, I don't care if you've been saved 6 minutes or 60 years, we're always an apprentice. Are you apprenticing? Are you modeling your life after Him? And equally as important of a question, according to Jesus, is are you seeing others find that same life? Is it true? Lord, help us. We're going to respond today a little different. There's no pressure. This is just an invitation. We're going to respond with communion and commission. Communion, because we have to be a disciple first. We can't lead someone or teach someone about something we're not experiencing ourselves. We must be a disciple of Jesus Christ first. So communion, the bread and the cup, these are tangible reminders that Jesus gave us of His broken body and His shed blood. This is the cost of salvation. How any one of us ever becomes to know life and know salvation, to know, be able to apprentice under the great teacher Jesus, is because of His broken body and shed blood and His grace at work in our life. And so the first thing we're going to do is together remember the cost of our salvation. Remember whose we are and who He is. And then we're going to be commissioned. Because those two things, according to Jesus and his word, go together. And so here in just a moment, just hold tight with me. We're going to give you some instructions. I want us to gather in the back in a big circle. Because this is not just a preacher thing. This is an us thing. This is a follower of Jesus thing. And so I want us to be able to stand in a big circle and see the faces that Jesus is talking to. And so in just a moment, I'm going to invite you, if you need help this morning, if you need help getting there, if you need a chair when you get there, I hereby give you permission, elbow the person beside you, say, hey, I need your help, and they'll help you. Okay? I'll help you. Raise your hand. But we're going to gather in the back. So if you need to, take a chair, get someone with you to hold you by the arm. We're going to prepare together and receive the elements. So there's no pressure on this, okay? You don't have to be a member of this local church. What we desire and what we ask is that you be an apprentice after Jesus, that you are experiencing his life. And maybe today you don't know what that means. Maybe you've never done that. Well, today is the day. We have an open table here in the Church of the Nazarene, meaning that you can respond. This can be your response in receiving Jesus, in placing your faith in him, and confessing your sin, and receiving new life. And that's really the marker. That's the requirement. Be sincere in seeking after Jesus and giving him your whole life. And remember that it was his broken body and shed blood on the cross of Calvary that won our salvation. If that's you today, in faith, you are invited to receive the elements. And if you're not there, please come and join us. But maybe refrain, because we don't want to take this lightly. Jesus told us to do communion too, and so we take it seriously. So we're going to receive the elements. As we move, you're welcome to grab them and just hang on to them. But before you go, make sure you have your gift, because we're going to be commissioned to. So as you're ready, let's meet in the back. Our service is going to conclude back there. I'll give you some more instructions or walk through communion. But those who are ready, those who want to, would you meet us in the back? You can grab your elements, but hang on to them, and we'll do it together.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.